The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply. We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline.
We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything. It's pain-free Friday, Pharrell on the bench in the biggest way possible, hanging out the bad seed, a broken day, a bad apple with a bad attitude, hanging around a bunch of bad actors, bad seed, bad life, bad dude, bad breath, bad attitude, bad vibes. We are live in the Pharrell Palacio right across the river and through the woods from where Granny loves to hook up a little gold leaf cement shoe, 22% pre-roll, before she goes to bed in New York City, the Big Apple. Ooh. People dress in plastic bags, directing traffic, some kind of fashion, shake it up, should do be. All my friends that come around, flats of party up, rats on the west side, bed bugs uptown, what a mess is town to tatter, my brains are splattered all over Manhattan, should do be, shake it up. Hey, what's kicking? It's Pharrell with Mafia tonight. And I'm watching the end of this great game between the Raptors and Nets in no sleep till. And I got to tell you, your boy Lowry has just absolutely devoured the Nets tonight. He's been unbelievable. He's got 30 points, including 6 of 8 from 3. He's just been sticking daggers left and right. Joe Harris hits a 3 in the corner to make it a 3-point game with 2:15 left and rolling. Siakam's got 29. Powell, 18. I mean, they have absolutely lit it up. They shot 41% from downtown, 50% in the game. Meanwhile, the Nets have shot 50% and 42% from downtown. In a game, they've had multiple guys in double figures, almost the whole team. Harris was 17, Jordan 10. Irving, 15, 5, and 5. Harden, 15, 7, and 12. Brown, 13, 6, and 2. And Green, 15 points, including 3 threes. 4 threes for Shamet. He's got 12. Bottom line is, earlier in the game, they're down 6 now. Bottom line is, I'm watching a game, and they got, like, Brown bringing the ball up. Bruce Brown bringing the ball up. Meanwhile, you got Irving and Harden on the team. Why is Bruce Brown having the ball in his hands at all in the fourth quarter? Honestly, like, I know he's got 13 points. That's fine. I know he's got 6 boards. That's fine. I'm talking about he turned the ball over when he brought it up. He brought it up to the top of the key to the free throw line, got stripped, lost the ball, turned it over, and they went down and got a bucket out of it. So I just can't have that dude bringing the ball up. He is not their true point. He shouldn't have the ball in his hands. I can handle him getting all that garbage under the basket, and nobody guards him. When they give him the ball at three, the Raptors never even go out to guard him because they know he can't shoot. And I'm not making this stuff up. He shot one three, bricked it, and most of his buckets have been right at the rim. I don't have a problem with him getting layups and working underneath for, you know, buckets, but I just can't have him with the ball in his hands when you got guys like Harden and Irving. You got to be kidding me. We welcome our radio affiliates in, Sirius XM 204, Mightier 1090, Sports Map Radio, Sports Byline, USA Armed Forces Radio. It's Pharrell on the bench on a pain-free Friday. I'm Pharrell with Monty tonight. Here's the deal. Tonight in this game, the weirdest thing happened is that it's 121-115 right now with 30 seconds left, and the Raptors are up. I took the Raptors in five tonight, so the Durant situation before the game, at the last minute, they told him he couldn't play because of contact tracing. You know, the COVID protocols, health, they call it, you know. And so he came out onto the bench and you know, toward the end of the first quarter, and he was about to put a mask on, and they put him in the game. It's the first time he's ever come off the bench in over 800-some starts in the NBA in games. He's always started. He's never once come off the bench, but he came off the bench for this bizarre tracing situation that arose. Then the guy plays the rest of the half, and then in the third quarter, I don't know what the hell happened, but they walked up to him, and he was on the bench, and they told him he had to go. And they yanked him off the floor and took him out of the, you know, arena. I mean, they took him in the back. They took him in a room. And that was it. And they isolated him. I don't understand at all because the guy's already had it. Mafia thought he had it twice. I know he had it last March. I don't know anything about a second time. But I know that. And he did not fail a test from what I've been told. It was a contact tracing situation with somebody else. I guess he was in contact with or around. So, strangely enough, they yanked him out of the game and he had to leave. And it's cost the Nets the game because they had nobody to rebound besides Jordan, who was in foul trouble. And I think it threw him off, and now we'll see if he can play in Philly tomorrow night.
As you continue listening to Sports Grid, ask yourself
and be honest.
Am I listening
enough?
Probably not.
16 hours a day.
That's all we ask. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
All right, 844-843-6879 is the number to get on the bench. 123-117 was the final. And the Raptors came into Brooklyn and beat them. Lowry's 30 was the difference. 6 of 9 from 3, 12 of 18 from the floor. 5 boards, 7 times to go with it. He got elbowed in the eye, cut his eye open, was wearing a Band-Aid all night. But he lit up the Nets from downtown. Powell hit 3 from downtown as well. I mean, they had Bembry hit one from downtown. Boucher hit one from downtown. Van Vliet had a rough night shooting. He still had 11, but he was 4 of 16, 1 of 9 from downtown. He didn't have it after his 54-point game the other night. And then Siakam had 33. My God. And no threes. 33, 11, and 6. The double-double. 12 of 23 from the floor, and all of his buckets were absolute money. Inside, you know, he got in low. Everything was baseline or in the low left block. Guy was dealing. like nobody's business. So now, I guess the game that's going to come on is Celtics-Clippers. It doesn't get any better than that. My God. So that game's about to tip. I gave you the Timberwolves spread tonight. They hit the game. They beat the Thunder 106-103. The Bucks blew out the Cavs 123-105, so they couldn't cover the 10.5. I covered with the Raptors, hit the Magic and covered 123-119 over the Bulls. Pelicans beat the Pacers 114-113. That's a huge win for the Pelicans on the road in Indy. Pacers blew it. Zion had 18, 4 and 5. Ingram, 30. Lonzo, 20 points, 9 boards, 3 dimes, including 5 threes. Redick had 3 threes, had 12 points. Hart had 11. Big win for the Pels on the road in Indy. I'm starting to think, you know, the Pacers are 12 and 11. They seem like posers to me. Suns at the half, 57-44 over the Pistons in the Valley. Jazz up 10 on the Hornets with 3 minutes left in Charlotte. And the Heat I gave you tonight, they were laying 6.5. They're up 111-90 with 5:49 left in the game in Miami after the Wizards beat them the other night in Miami. They played again tonight, and I took the Heat and laid the points. So I just want to look at some of these games. In terms of Giannis with 33 and 12 tonight, the double-double. 13 of 25 from the floor. They got Middleton with 15, Lopez 13, Holiday 17, DiVincenzo 11. Bobby Portis gave him 14. They rocked the Cavs. Sexton had 19 to lead Cleveland. So, big win for them. In that Timberwolves win, Beasley. How about Michael Beasley with 24? Am I tripping? Malik Beasley. I am tripping. Can you imagine Michael Beasley? I heard he was going to G League ball again or something. D'Angelo Russell had a decent game. 21. He had 5 threes in that game. 4 rebounds, 6 assists. And that was just the gist of it for OKC. Horford had 26 to lead the Thunder in the Magic win at home over the Bulls in Orlando. Vucevic, 43. He just goes off. A career best 43 and 19 boards to go with it. That's pretty impressive. That Jazz game now, 128-119 with 2:22 left in Charlotte. I just wanted to look at that to see what – I always like to see what LaMelo's doing. 34 tonight in that game. He's got 34, 14 and 23 from the floor and 4 threes, 4 rebounds, 8 assists. I mean, this kid is putting on a show every night. Hayward's got 25. Meanwhile, the rookie with 34. They're going to lose. Bogdanovich has 28. Spider has 28. And then he got a bunch of other guys producing. Gobert, 12 and 15. The double-double. And then Conley's got 16, 4 and 2. That Jazz team is tough, I'll tell you what. About 4 minutes left in Miami, and the Heat are up 113-95. They look terrible this whole season. The other night, they looked terrible. Adebayo has 19 tonight. Nunn, Kendrick Nunn with 21. Hero has 17 and 3 threes. Kelly Olynyk, 5 threes and 17 points. 116-95 now with 3:23 left. And the Clips and Celtics are underway. 3-0 Clippers out of the gates. So that's just about the gist of it in the NBA tonight. So, Mafia, what did you think when you saw what happened to Durant tonight? You said to me off the air before the show that you thought he should have never gone into the game at all.
Yeah, I mean, listen, if you're all about the health and safety right now of the players and you're worried about, you know, all these teams possibly going down, you've had teams like Memphis get shut down, you've had other ones that have, you know, been in trouble, Philadelphia's had their issues with it, the Nets have had guys sit out. Like, if you're really that worried about it, where you're sending this guy out to start the game, why are you letting him back in? You know, it's one game. Is it really worth the possibility of getting the whole team infected or getting the other team infected and having it go down and causing a big problem in your schedule? Now, I went back and looked it up because we're talking about it. He did test positive, like you said, last year. Then him and Bam Adebayo were two guys that were held out because of close contacts previously this season. So it wasn't that he tested positive a second time. There were other ones. They didn't say if he was one of them, but that he was held out because of close contact. So it's the second time now he's held out for a close contact. But if you're going to hold him out, you hold him out the whole night. You don't let the guy back in for play for 10 minutes or whatever it was. Possibly, you know, sweat and breathe and pass it on to someone else. And then say, oh, you know what? That's not a good idea. Get out of the game.
So, but, you know, I'm under the impression this isn't about him failing a test. No?
No, it's but about if he's somebody in contact else. With somebody, you worry about him still passing it along. You're worried about him having the virus, you know, in some capacity that he could pass it to someone. Otherwise, it wouldn't matter.
Well, fair enough. But they're saying he I thought that he never failed a test. So, but you're saying, like, he could still have it even if he failed the test? Or if he
didn't fail a test? Like you said, it was close contact. But, I mean, I don't know why you're letting him in there. You know, what kind of test are you giving there? It's going to be that quick that you can have him not play the beginning of the game, but by the halftime he's in there?
He played 19 minutes, had 8 points, 6 boards, 5 dimes. He was 3 of 8. He hit a 3. He was starting to get unglued in that game, and then they pulled him out again. It was unbelievable. Now he's in jeopardy for tomorrow, and I think they're playing that game in Philly tomorrow. In fact, that's where it is, in Philadelphia tomorrow night. So do you think he'll be able to go tomorrow? I'm guessing no, if he's been exposed, because if they said before the game he's been in contact with somebody, then they don't let him start. And 10 minutes goes by, they bring him out to the bench, they let him go in the game. Guy plays for 20 minutes. They come out after the break. They tell him he's got to leave. So in the third quarter, unless I'm tripping, that's when they yanked him out of the game. And he went into the locker room, and that was the last we saw of him. And then everybody started talking about, well, we're going to see how it goes for tomorrow in Philly. If they yanked him out of this game, if he's involved in some kind of contact with somebody with COVID, which is what it is, I don't see how he can play tomorrow. Is this guy going to end up in isolation? Is he going to end up in quarantine again? I mean, this is unbelievable. Later tonight, we got Scott Miller, great baseball reporter from San Diego. He's going to come on and talk about the Trevor Bauer deal and other shenanigans in Major League Baseball hot stove style on a bench. Yeah, for all on a bench on a pain-free Friday with Mafia. So today, Mafia got kicked in the stones by Trevor Bauer as he went to the Dodgers instead of the Mets and basically got a fat deal, $40 million this year, $45 million next year, and $102 million total if he plays, you know, all 3 years with him. He has opt-outs basically from what I was gathering after every year. After this year, after next year, he can get out of it. So it is what it is. And he stiffs the Mets. It's almost like it seems as though he was playing a game with the Mets because it came down to the Mets and Dodgers allegedly, and his agent even said, this woman said it was down to two teams, and it was the Mets and Dodgers. And then he started doing, like, these – what did he do, Mafia? He, like, put a picture of a Mets hat up or something, and he, like, teased them or taunted them. Like, are people reacting that way in, you know, Metsville? Are they no joy in Metsville? I mean, are they – do they think that he was effing with him?
Absolutely they do. They think he is a, you know, a piece of junk right now, you know, to say it nicely, is that, you know, he was playing games, and it wasn't just with the – I mean, he ended up with the Dodgers, so – he was playing games in general. That, first of all, you know, our boy Bob Nightingale came out yesterday and said he was going to the Mets, and then, of course, there were other reports saying it wasn't. And I don't blame Bob now when I see what he did today.
what Bauer did today. He starts selling both Dodger and Met hats, you know, autographed Dodger and Met hats. Then he has like Twitter thing, you know, these T-shirts that he has with like Mets colors. Or, you know, he had a Twitter thing, you know, that looked like an accidental leak where it said, you know, the LFGM, you know, the Mets thing that the fans say, the LFGM. And, you know, there was a bunch of different things that were done on social media and on his website that were just shady as hell, just basically acting like he was going to the Mets or playing, you know, I could go either side. Or he made it a giant game. He thought he was like LeBron and, you know, going out here and doing like the decision, but this was 10 times worse because he's not even close to how good LeBron was. Playing this game of, oh, where am I going to go, and playing both sides. I think all of it was just his team jacking up the price on the Dodgers because the Mets offer was allegedly more, and it was just him getting more upfront cash from the Dodgers. He's always talked about wanting, you know, the short-term deals to maximize your money, that the 1-2-year deals, that's where you make the most because you get more of them, then the pay raises go up, all that kind of stuff. So I think that was all him getting that upfront money that he got from the Dodgers if the Mets deal was more, and just playing this game and tugging at their hearts. And I don't care if you go there. You want to be a Dodger? Fine. You know, more power to you. Pull a baseball Kevin Durant and go play with the champs because you don't think you can win on another team. But all the games all day of the, you know, the social media stuff and his website and all that stuff, that's just such junk. I hated that. It's, you're a clown. Get out of here. Hope your arm falls off.
I think that it was I don't actually think that he personally, and I have no bones in this. I'm not a Mets fan. So I truly don't believe that he felt that he just wanted to go play for the champs because, you know, he didn't want to play for anybody else because he just wanted to play on the best team. I mean, he's never been on the best team. He's been on crappy teams. He's been on average teams. Let's face it, one decent team in Cleveland, and then he was in a terrible situation in Cincinnati at the end of the day, wasn't he? I mean, all they did was lose, and he was a great pitcher for them. I think this came down to, from my standpoint, it came down to he's from L.A. He went to UCLA. I think he just wanted to play at home. At one time, they were saying he was going to the Angels, and, you know, we always knew that the Dodgers had interest in him, and from the beginning, it was pretty much, you know, I think it got whittled down to Dodgers, Angels, Mets, and then kind of the Angels fell out of the picture. Now, I don't know. I'll be honest with you. When I look at the Angels, I think they're awful. I really do. They are pathetic, and their pitching's pathetic. Everything about them is pathetic except for Mike Trout, right? And I see no reason whatsoever to want to play for them at all for any superstar or free agent right now, if you ask me. And if you're afforded the opportunity to play for the Dodgers in Los Angeles and you're from there and you went to school there and you know, half of your life you spent there, it's an obvious, easy decision for him. I don't disagree with you about the way he treated the situation. I don't disagree with you the way he played games with the Mets fans. It's pretty obvious he did that. But we've always known that he was kind of a D, right? We always have known that he's a bizarre guy, and he's, you know, he does the whole cocky thing, like, better than anybody in baseball. He does the Conor McGregor strut. He talks smack to other players and benches. And, you know, he'll start up with the other team in their dugout. And there's no denying that the guy thinks he's better than everybody. He's constantly letting everybody know how great he is. And his, you know, science of baseball and the you know, basically geometry of it all and physics of it all. He's all about, you know, stuff like that and spiritual and all this other. He's a bizarre dude. So I don't think for one minute that he's, I don't think he ever wanted to play for the Mets. I think he just wanted Steve Cohen's money. I think the Mets have a lot of money now. And I've always felt they had a lot of money, even with the Wilpons. The problem was, and I don't think you can argue with this, is that the Wilpons have been just atrocious baseball owners since they've been in the league. They were the laughing stock of baseball and New York. There's no one in New York really that, let's just be honest, that respects them, like, at all. Like, the Yankees own this town, and that's all there is to it. And I think part of that has to do with the Wilpons were such a joke, and no one can argue. You could sit here and say whatever you want about them if you're friends with them or family or anything else, because they got all kinds of ties around here in New York. And you know, I know them. I worked for them at the Mets channel, SNY. And I know they were enamored with me at one time or another when they hired me. And I know that I did shows that got ratings, and I did well there. And I know that they didn't like me because I made fun of the Mets. Because when I was on that channel, the Mets were blowing division leads. They were blowing playoff opportunities. They were choking. They were not getting it done. And so I pounced on them because watching them blow a 7-game lead with 17 games to go every single day, the year that that happened, basically, you know the story, Mafia. That was when, you know, by the time that was over and I, you know, basically they choked their way out of it and I abused them every day on the air. They weren't having it. They weren't going to have some guy on their network talking bad about the Mets. But the reality was, and you know it's true, that everything I said about them was true. Everything I said about them every day was that, you know, factual. They were choking. They were terrible, committing errors, bad pitching, bad managing, bad decision, bad defense, no one's hitting, blah, blah, blah. I never went on personal attacks on the Wilpons or anyone for that matter. I just talked about the team sucks and they're choking and they're not going to make it. And they didn't like that, so they fired me, and that's fine. And, you know, remember, when I was on there, I was on Howard 101 every night, so I didn't need their effing job. I just did it because they paid me all kinds of money to do it. So greed is good, right? I was like, oh, you're going to pay me all kinds of money to do TV every day? Okay, I'll do that before I go in and do my radio show, which is all that mattered to me anyway. So I'm on there, and they hated me because I'm a Steeler fan and a Pirate fan, and then I'm making fun of the Mets and the Jets. The Jets were even worse than the Mets. And so it was easy pickings for me because I do that kind of style. I'll make fun of bad teams or whatever, and they didn't like it. But my point of all this is simple, is that they've always had money. They just never spent it. They were cheap. They were blue light special owners. That's it. That's all there is to it. Now you get an owner that's a billionaire that's like, I'm going to spend money. I'm going to compete with the biggest teams in baseball. I'm going to compete with the Yankees. I don't care what they're doing in the Bronx. I'm here. There's a new sheriff in town. And I like that. I like that gusto. But I don't believe for 1 minute that he wanted to play for the Mets at all. This was about money. And I think he did want to play for the Dodgers in the bottom of his heart. He wanted to go home, Moff.
Yeah, I agree with you. And you know what? If that was just that, I have no problem with it. You want to go home? You want to, you know, go make that upfront cash? Go for it. You want to use teams against each other to get more from the other team? Do it. But the games that he played, you know, out in the press and in the, you know, the social media, that's what annoyed me. It's like, you know what? It's not needed. Go play your games behind the scenes. Don't tear at fans' hearts like that. Especially the, like you said, the little brother team in New York. You do that to the Yankees? Fine. That's hilarious. I love it. They're, you know, the Darth Vader. They're the evil empire. Go ahead and mess with them. The Mets fans have been kicked enough around for this guy to come in here.
Okay, wait a minute. So you want, it's okay if he does it to the Yankees, but don't do it to my team? Is that what you just said to me? Oh, my God. I mean, that's soft. That's pretty soft. But now you have a villain you can hate. You can hate Trevor Bauer if the Mets get to the National League Championship Series.
As long as you can remember,
there's only ever been one thing in your life that's been there for you. It's meant memories, family, friends,
and yeah, we'll say it,
fun. Welcome to your home for talking sports. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Pharrell on the bench. Your boy Andy Reid's got a nightmare on his hands right before the Super Bowl. Here's your drama piece heading into the weekend. As Chiefs outside linebackers coach Britt Reid, the son of Andy Reid, was involved in a car crash. I'm sure you've, you know, more than likely heard of this incident at some point this evening. If you haven't, and I'm telling it to you for the first time right now, here it is. It happened last night. It left a 5-year-old child with life-threatening injuries. He was scheduled to leave with the Chiefs tomorrow for the Super Bowl. That's not happening because he's in the hospital and he's not getting out. According to the police, the KCPD, a car ran out of gas on the on-ramp to Interstate 435 in Kansas City on Thursday night, and the driver called relatives for help. A second car arrived, parking on the on-ramp near the Chiefs training complex adjacent to Arrowhead. I know where that is. I used to, believe it or not, work there. I spent one summer working in Kansas City at KCTV 5, and then I did Royals games, everything else. So I've been to Kauffman Stadium and Arrowhead a bunch of times. According to the police report, a third car, which was driven by Britt Reid, allegedly, came along and then struck first the left front of the disabled vehicle and then the rear of the second vehicle, where the 5-year-old was in the back seat along with a 4-year-old, who was also taken by ambulance to an area hospital, but with non-threatening injuries. Reid acknowledged to police allegedly that he was driving the third car. According to the search warrant, police report said the driver of the third car, Reid, suffered non-life-threatening injuries and was being investigated for impairment. According to a search warrant obtained by TV stations, a KCPD officer said Reid's eyes were bloodshot and the cop smelled alcohol. The warrant went on to say Reid told the officer he had had drinks, 2 or 3 drinks, and he also had taken Adderall. And then, of course, the team said, "We're aware of it. We have no comment. Our prayers are with everyone involved." Reid is in the hospital with injuries and could be there for days. The station, the TV station, or the police told reporters if there are charges in the case, they would not be filed until after the Super Bowl. That's a normal timeline after an investigation of something like this. No one involved in the accident is identified by name in the police report. The driver of the disabled vehicle was inside the car at the time of the first collision, but was not injured. And the driver of the second vehicle and a front seat adult passenger were also not injured. Reid has had his problems in the past. In 2007, like 13 years ago, he pled guilty to flashing a gun at another driver and was sentenced that November to 8 to 23 months in prison. The following year, he pled guilty to DUI and drug charges after he drove into a shopping cart in a parking lot after he had difficulty locating his car while leaving a store. And then, of course, his dad kept getting him jobs. He joined the Chiefs in 2013 as a defensive assistant coach. He became the assistant defensive line coach in 2015, defensive line coach in 2016 officially, and then he became the outside linebackers coach in 2019. I mean, let's face facts. This guy's an F up. He's effed up so many times, it's not even funny. Thrown in jail for road rage, DUIs, drugs, booze, pills. This time, more pills. This time, allegedly, admitting to drinking and taking pills. Or who knows with Adderall. He might have crushed it and snorted it for all we know. Because they do that too, you know. It's basically speed. let's get down to business with Adderall. He's not studying for the midterm or the final. People that take Adderall and have drinks, it's like cocaine in a pill form. It's speed, and it keeps you up. It gets you off. And you drink with it and take Adderall, and you're lit. It's that simple. And he crashes into two cars. He's doomed. He's doomed. And he, and I mean, this five-year-old kid, I mean, I don't know the details of the five-year-old, but it sounds like the kid's he's got life-threatening injuries. I don't really, I have to like absorb it all and like figure it out, Mafia, because I mean, how fast do you have to be going seriously up an off-ramp or an on-ramp to the 495 to possibly crash into two cars and put some kid in the hospital with life-threatening injuries, and then nobody else is injured at all. He's injured. This five-year-old's injured, and the five-year-old's got life-threatening injuries, and he's all banged up, and he's not getting out of the hospital because he's got so many injuries. How fast must he have been going on this on-ramp to crash into these cars and put this kid in a life-threatening hospital situation? That's crazy, right? Like, he must have been effed up, and he must have been speeding. I mean, you go on, we all go on-ramps and off-ramps on highways, right? Do you really go on the on-ramp and start, like, doing 80? Don't you just kind of speed up and get on the highway and then start going fast? I don't haul ass up the on-ramp. Do people do that? Like, I guess it sounds like he was effed up. Mafia, you tell me what you think of it.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I don't know the roads. I don't know if it's like a on-ramp from one to the next. If he was already kind of on a highway going to a highway, you could tell me better since you know the area. But even then, you know, the thing, like you said, is that with everyone else kind of not having as bad injuries except the kid. I mean, you got two kids in the back of a car, in a parked car. I'm sure they're not sitting there with their seatbelts all calm and quiet. I'm sure they're moving around, things like that. So, you know, any hit is going to send the kid flying through the car. And that's probably what happened, and then that's terrible. And we, you know, obviously hope the best that the kid recovers. It's just a terrible situation overall. Like you said, for a guy that, you know, has had his issues not just once or twice, you know, multiple times. This guy's had big problems. And, you know, he thought that maybe finally he could probably put it behind himself, and his dad keeps trying to help him out. And then this happens, you know, right before the Super Bowl. It's just terrible timing, terrible situation. And like you said, this guy has just been tons of trouble for Reed throughout his life. It sucks. You know, that is happening right now. This is terrible. It's happening. Hopefully the kid makes a recovery, but who knows what's going on. It sounds like a bad situation all around.
I mean, look him up. Doesn't it go much deeper than that? Like, I don't remember.
2007. You said he pulled a gun on in a road rage. Like, someone, you know, he got ticked off at someone. They pulled over, you know, and they were yelling at each other, and he showed a gun. And he went to jail
for it. I remember that, but did he ever? Because I knew he had drinking and drug problems before. Was he doing, and I'm just throwing this out there, I'm not accusing him of this, I'm just asking you, did he have, like, because I knew he had drug problems before, did he have like heroin problems? Was he doing like hardcore heroin and stuff? And did he, because I remember a story about him with drugs with his dad, and then this guy, he obviously, his father keeps giving him jobs to keep him out of trouble, right? Because he's obviously a loose cannon, and he, you know, he obviously drinks and does drugs. I mean, he's got a rap sheet for it. He did time for it, and he's got multiple arrests for it.
Yeah.
So
when he was sentenced, he was smashing someone's car while on heroin, the story says.
Well, there you go. So Pharrell's right again. When he crashed the car before, he was on heroin. So boom. Chocolata. There it
is. Actually, that was the other son. That was the other son, I believe.
Oh, the other son. Oh yeah. God. Oh, I can't even keep track. Oh my God. So he's got two sons, and they're both messed up.
Apparently.
Oh, my God. The whole family's a mess. And the father's playing for his second straight Super Bowl. And now the son is just put a wrench in everything. Like, this is a sideshow now. It's like a freak show now, Mafia. You can't deny it. This is like, I mean, you can't even argue. Like, remember when Barrett Robbins ran off and nobody knew where he was and he disappeared and that became the story? This is the same thing. You know, Andy Reid's son gets in a car crash, drunk, high, and injures a five-year-old kid who's in life-threatening situation in a hospital in Kansas City. This is not good at all. This is a disaster. Meanwhile, so the other son had drug problems. This one's had multiple drug and alcohol problems, DUIs, road rage, prison. I mean, my God, what is going on over there? Because it's funny this guy Andy Reid is like, you'd think he was perfect the way the media loves him. I mean, he gets just the best treatment ever. I mean, everyone just kisses his ass. He can do no wrong. He's like the smartest coach. You know, he knows exactly when to, you know, throw the ball on fourth and one in a playoff game. He's a genius. He takes risk. He's such an experienced. He's been there, done that, and he's just so much smoother than everybody else. Oh, they love him. His big belly, his clothes, his Hawaiian shirts, and he finally won his fogged up plastic cover for COVID. Everything about him, people get a kick out of Andy Reid. They think he's like the funniest guy ever. He's the teddy bear. They all love him. He's like the gentle giant. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, everything's a mess. I mean, you can't even argue with Mafia, his whole family. Are you kidding me? Heroin, DUIs, drugs, pills, booze, car crashes, road rage incidents. I mean, his sons are F-ups, are they not? I mean, like,
absolutely.
You can't even, you can't even argue it. I mean, I knew something had happened before. I can only remember so much. I got early for Alzheimer's. I'm thinking, what? There was one of them, heroin had something to do with something. And I'm like, when you bring in the H, you know you got a problem. When you start, I mean, it's one thing to smoke some hoochie. It's one thing to get a little K-Funk Swiss cheese. It's one thing to blaze a fatty. And it's another thing to, you know, as far as I'm concerned, drinking and driving, they do not mix. And, you know, driving and drugging don't mix. Driving and pilling don't mix. Who gets in a car wreck and admits immediately? You're going to get a blood test anyway and blood alcohol test anyway, whether you like it or not, either on site or at the police station. And who admits to them? I've had a few drinks and I popped some Adderall. I mean, you're automatically busted now, bruh. All right, just so you know, this whole thing with Reid, it is a disaster. Trust me when I tell you that is a massive distraction for, I think, Andy Reid. And I don't believe for one minute that in all actuality that this kid, Britt Reid, was that important. I think he's got that job. This is just my guess. He's got that job so he doesn't get in trouble. Because he sounds like he's a lunatic. I mean, it sounds like he got a drinking and drug problem, right? I mean, that's just obvious. So let's just stop with all the BS. You know, it's funny. When all the junkies and addicts and drunks and liars, they all everything comes out when you're busted using. When they bust you using, you know, they say jail's institution or death. So it's one of the above, right? But then when they do it and they actually get in a crash and then they start, oh, I had a few drinks. I had an Adderall or two. And everybody's, you know, and then they start making excuses for him. Oh, he's got injuries. He's in the hospital. God, let's pray for him. How about we pray for the five-year-old kid that's got life-threatening injuries that he crashed into, that he caused all this damage? Who cares about him? I hate to say it, but it's true. Like, right? They always end up feeling sorry for the drug and drunks and drug addicts and junkies when they're ruining everyone else's lives. And we're supposed to feel sorry for this guy who's got a rap sheet as big as Texas for all of his other transgressions in life and his brother. And his brother has nothing to do with this, so we can leave him out of this. But his brother's got his own little problem. God, I hope he's better. I hope he's clean. I hope he's sober. And I hope he got over his little H problem that he allegedly had. But this one here, I mean, it's pretty obvious what happened. They're investigating him for impairment. The guy already said he had drinks and did drugs before he crashed the car.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, guys. Finding the perfect gift for the food lover in your life is easy, thanks to Gold Belly. Gold Belly ships America's most iconic foods straight from world-famous restaurants right to your door. So if you want to treat someone to Joe's Stone Crab from Miami, Franklin Barbecue from Texas, or desserts from famous foodies like Ina Garten or Martha Stewart, Gold Belly has you covered. Just go to goldbelly.com and for a limited time, get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT. That's promo code GIFT.